What's going on, y'all? We back, man. Long, 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 long hiatus, and I didn't really realize the time that I was putting in and my job that was consuming so much of the time that I had for other things. And it really hurts me. Thinking about it really does hurt me just because it's been a struggle. It really has been with time management and working this job where I clock in for 11 and a half hours a day. 11 to 11 and a half, It's crazy. That's 12 hours. Going on 12 hours, that's half my day. And think about it. If I'm working for 12 hours, I'm sleeping for 8 of them. Well, then I have 4 hours, right? And I'm not even sleeping for 8 hours. That's the thing. I might sleep for six, so I have more time to do other things. I have to go to the gym at some point, so then that's an hour right there. And now I'm down to 5 hours to work with in the day. And then making dinner, just time to eat, that's like an hour. Another one. So now I'm down to really 4 hours. It's like, dang, man, you just got 4 hours and that's it. 4 hours before you go to sleep. And it's like, all right. I factor out an hour again for people, and then my friends, it's like, all right, another hour taken, I got 3 hours. And it's like, man, days have just been flying like as fast as you can turn a page. And I'm not making this podcast episode so that, I can just complain about how strenuous my job has been or whatever. I'm just doing it because, look, this is reality, and this is where I've been at. This is real life. And something that I've had to break this preconceived stigma of creators, content creators, is that you expect to see things from them because we're only committed, to uploading every week. We're committed and we dedicate our time and ourselves to making sure we deliver content, because at the end of the day, that's what our service is that we provide. We have to provide our service. But then when something comes up like this, then it's like, man, this guy, he's not passionate anymore. He's lost it. He's lost his drive. He was never bad in the first place. Or it's like, imagine if there was a delay on line one at an Amazon warehouse, right? The difference between content creators and Amazon is that if there's a delay on line one, they just gonna scrap line one completely and put all them and allocate their time in other places until they can figure out what's wrong at line one. We, as single-handed people, we can't really do that. And I've read time and time again and heard so many different people talk about the importance of distributing tasks. This is even a principle from the 4-Hour Workweek, which is a great book. I haven't read all of it. I've just listened to a lot of synopses, and I really recommend a lot of people reading that. I will read that. It is a planned future purchase, so I'll definitely touch base on that more in the future. But a wise person definitely allocates their time the best that they can, and whenever they can put their time doing something more valuable and more important to them that will raise the most benefit and value, they'll distribute tasks that take most of their time but don't account for X amount of whatever. So let's say you have a telephone that you have to call people on, and then you have the actual advertisements themselves that you have to make, okay? Let's say that it takes 70% of your time for telephones to call people, but that actually equates to about 30% of your business. Meanwhile, creating ads, you're really good at it. That might take about 30% of your time, but it yields 70% of your business because you're an advertising company. You're not a telephone calling company. You're cold calling businesses. So what you can do is find somebody that's knowledgeable about your product so that they could spend 70% of their time cold calling people, while you can spend 100% of your time making advertisements that lead to 70% of your business. Now, add that extra percentage to the 70% of your business. Well, 30, another extra 70. Now you should be making 140% profit, but you could also take that time, since you have that extra 70%, to go and expand, or, you know, dip into something else, allocate that time to, you know, experimental process or whatever it may be. See, it makes sense. It makes sense. And that's the way to be the most effective. But single-handedly, it's way different, man. And it's way harder too. And me being this 22-year-old that is working this job and even has nights where you're on call. Yes, on call. I got the phone, matter of fact, with me right now, because I was on call this weekend, and I'm responsible for any call or text that would come through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even Monday morning, when you think about it. No matter what it is, if a nurse calls out, I gotta deal with it. I gotta find someone to cover it. I don't like taking work home, and that's something that I realized. I probably didn't need to be in the situation to realize that, but now it's only solidified that I don't want to bring work home. I really don't. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy being on call. It's my first weekend being on call, and I don't ever want to have another on-call weekend. But I know as long as I'm in this job, I'm going to have to. And it is what it is. Like, you know, I signed myself up, so I have to deal with it. And I have accountability. That's the thing. I take responsibility for my actions. See, a lot of people, they'll get jobs, right? And then they'll complain about the job, but then they'll make it seem like as if the job is the one that's forcing them to do this, or the job is the one that's making them do this. You're making yourself do that. A job can't make you do anything. And nobody can really make you do anything. Even if somebody came up to you and put a gun to your head and said, hey, count to 1, 2, 3. They can't make you count 1, 2, 3. You choose to count to 1, 2, 3. You might be scared. You might be fearing for your life. So then you voluntarily count to 1, 2, 3. But that's the thing. You voluntarily count to 1, 2, 3. They didn't hack your system and then force you to count to 1, 2, 3. They didn't stick you with a needle into your brain that took control of your body, and then you automatically counted to 1, 2, 3. No. They manipulated you and greatly influenced you into deciding to count to 1, 2, 3, and that's it. Because we have free will, and that's the thing. Free will is one of our greatest assets in life. And a lot of people don't understand the power that they have and the power that comes with free will. See, when you realize everything that you have that revolves around free will, you realize that you can do anything. Matter of fact, I was actually walking in the mall with my mom today, and we walked past this one skateboard shop, and she said, hey, remember there was a time where you were into skateboarding? And I said, yeah. That was a time before I knew that I could really do anything I wanted if I put my mind to it. And I gave up skateboarding. Do I like skateboarding? Yeah. I've always thought skateboarding was cool, and I think it'd be even cooler if I knew how to skateboard. I was able to learn some stuff and balance, but that's really about it. I'm no Terry Kennedy or Danny Way, Rob Dyrdek. Not at all. But the thing that P-Rod had that I didn't is the passion, the drive, the ambition, and most importantly, the realization that you can achieve that. PJ Ladd, all of them. Even Ryan Sheckler. It all comes down to your mind, and it all comes down to your thinking. I've had people tell me that working till 8:30 to 8 is extremely unhealthy, and they're questioning, why am I in this job? You know, my mom has told me, hey, I almost told you quit this job. And she told me something that I thought I would love to hear, but when it was actually said to me, I actually kind of, you know, saw it as a good and bad thing. But she said, you are the hardest working person that I know. You work more hours than anybody I know. And I said, well, you know, I do want people to say that about me. I do. But then again, I don't. Because I don't want to keep working. Life isn't all about work. Life is also about life, you know? And that's important. Life is about life at the end of the day. We weren't originally put on this earth to work. That became a task that we had to do. I believe in the fall of man, that's when work became a thing. But before that, what would we need to work on? Earth was paradise. Paradise lost came with the fall of man. And if you don't believe that, that's fine. I don't judge you, or, you know, everybody's entitled to their own belief, going back to free will. But that's what I believe. I don't believe that my purpose in life, or anybody's purpose in life, is to work until they die. I just don't. There's more to life. And why would there be all these greatest, why would there be the seven wonders of the world, or however many there are? Why would there be amazing landmarks and crazy cities and beautiful landscapes if we weren't meant to visit them, if we weren't meant to lay our eyes upon them and actually go there instead of just looking at a computer background, a phone background? Why was man able to go to the moon if all we're supposed to do is work until we die? Work until retirement. Work until we're 65. I'm 22 years old right now. Working until I'm 65 and then I can finally stop working, that doesn't sound ideal to me at all. And I don't even like working. I don't like clocking in right now. I'm not clocking in for 65 years. I'm just not doing that. I'm telling y'all that right now. There's too much life to be lived and there's too much life to be experienced. And I think y'all need to realize that. And don't get me wrong, too. I love getting to the bag and I love securing bags. I love getting to the money. And that's really what keeps me motivated in this job too, is the money. It's the best money that I've had, and you know, I'm not going down to less money. I'm only going to get more money from this point up. And every 2 weeks I'm like, all right, this is cool. I'm adding to my supply. I'm no longer broke. Being broke is a mental thing in itself. But the situation that I have with money, it allows me to just have that reinforcement that my mind is wealthy. The actions of what you do with your money is what determine if you're wealthy or not. My actions: save 10%, keep the rest of my checking, and I save that bad boy right up. If I need to buy something, I got it. But that's it. My dress clothes, they'll be $12. I'll buy a pair of pants for $20. You know, I go to Gabe's, I go to Ross, I go to Burlington. I don't go to Hugo Boss, I don't go to Men's Warehouse. I don't need to. TJ Maxx has had things that I've need. Things that I've needed. Same with Marshalls. Until they can't provide for me any longer, I don't have a reason to switch up. The reason is because my priorities are aligned with how they should be. And I know there's so many people still in this life. Even on work on Friday. And let me finish that statement. There's still so many people in this life that don't have their priorities where they're supposed to be. And now, going to the story, even on Friday, people were talking about cars or whatever. Somebody had this nice car. I said, you know what? I want a Tesla. And they said, oh, yeah. I said, I want a Tesla so I can contribute to creating a sustainable environment by running my car on electricity and eliminating fossil fuels. And then they kind of didn't expect that to come from my mouth. So they were like, oh, okay, all right. You're like, oh, okay, kind of took it from there, you know? Because at the end of the day, it's bigger than just stunning. It's bigger than showing off what you're able to afford. Everybody should be able at some point in life to afford a Tesla. I don't care how long you have to save. Even making minimum wage, if you save for X amount of years, you should be able to buy a Tesla. Some people are just able to get there quicker. And at the end of the day, it all comes down to time and patience. And patience is that key word. And I don't want to talk about something else that I've already talked about before. But patience is so important. Patience is such a key value and so instrumental in being successful that you can never talk about patience too much. You can never over discuss patience. Because if you don't have patience, you'll never succeed in anything. You want to become a scheduler, you better have patience, man, because if you're not, that's what I do. If you don't have patience, and that's what any job, honestly. Unless this job is the greatest thing since sliced bread and the job that you're in right now is what you love 100%, and you're able to go to not even work, you feel like you're just going to where you belong all day. You're going to need that motivation. You're going to need that drive, that energy. And keep it a full bean. Patience really is a virtue. Patient people are virtuous people. They value important things, they value personality traits that speak highly of a person. And me being a patient person, I value second chances. I value redemption. I value truth and honesty. I value dedication. I value responsibility and accountability because these all fall back to being patient. Those are all traits you need to have in order to be a patient person. That's how powerful patience is. To have this trait, you need to have a combination of X amount of traits before you can even smell what patience looks like. Problem is that so many people don't want to be patient. So many of us don't want to be patient. They don't want to have patience. I've been looking at my numbers on my last podcast, and it's a little disheartening because it's not where I'd want it to be. And I feel like it hasn't been really growing as much. But I also got to think of my circumstance. And that's the thing too. I was the only person hired at my branch carrying that load. Now I'm the lead scheduler. And I do believe that the world will put you in positions that will lead you to your destiny. Batman said one time to Robin, a wise man chases and pursues his destiny because at the end of the day, his destiny will find him regardless. So why not chase my destiny? My destiny is to become a leader and in everything I do, in every environment that I'm in, impact it and leave it changed for the better and never to be able to go back to being the same. Then why would I do otherwise? Why would I think otherwise? Why wouldn't I be patient? And why wouldn't I seize on this opportunity? Because I know that there's something great that lies at the head of it. The head of it and the end of it. I know there is. And the law of attraction is a real thing, y'all. It really is. You attract what you want in life, you attract who you want to be in life. You attract the type of person that you are. It just makes sense. Look at your friends and do a friend audit. And if you don't have things in common with your friends, I wonder if they're even your friends, really. Because you should attract people that are like you. People say opposites attract all the time, but what do protons and electrons have in common? They're still all atoms. And they share that in common. Important parts of a molecule, you know? You can't have one without the other. Let me not even say that because I don't know all of chemistry. So there might be some chemist that hears this and is like, actually, you could have an electron. But they balance each other out and they complement each other. And I just want to affirm to y'all that even if your situation right now isn't ideal, it doesn't seem bleak, remember the purpose. That's the most important thing that we can do, is remember the purpose. Why are we doing this in the first place? What am I gaining from doing this? What am I gaining from being here? What am I losing from being here? Where could I potentially go that's better for me? Where could I go that's worse for me? What can I do to make my environment better? And that leads me to touching base on what I thought of not too long ago. It was actually after I had a conversation with my good friend Ruben, just about the environment that I'm in and, you know, being able to make a change. But also, if you're in an environment where it's hard to change and you're kind of powerless in doing so, do you leave? Do you go? Do you stay? Well, I feel like calling that the leader's dilemma. And that's what I kind of sum that up to. Because that's really the biggest dilemma a leader can have. After reading Extreme Ownership, which I still haven't finished yet, look, owning it, I learned that a leader is at the blame and not his team. And there's no such thing as a bad team. There's only such thing as a bad leader. It makes you wonder, you know, how true that statement is, because by that book and by that logic, a good leader should be able to take any team and turn them into good people. Turn them into better people. Are there scenarios and situations where that may be more difficult to you know, kind of prove and to reflect that statement? Yeah. Definitely. Like, if it was something like the bench warmers, you know, but, I mean, even in that movie, they kind of turned around and started winning. All because of a leader. And that leader was Rob Snyder. Happened to be Rob Snyder there, but it really makes you think. As a leader, should I do all my power to change my environment? To lead these people? Because as natural born leaders, we need to be in positions of power to lead, and that's it. That's like a wolf being born a wolf but not wanting to hunt. It just doesn't make sense. A leader has to fulfill their role and their destiny. They have no other option. And so when it comes to that, and knowing that is a fact, the environment that you're in sometimes, especially when you're a new person and you're entry level, you can't just start being a leader off the jump. You kind of got to earn your respect. And there's different ways to do this. Many different ways. A fantastic book. Haven't read this one either, but I plan on it as well. And I've listened to some of the audiobook on it. How to Win Friends and Influence People. can give you plenty of ideas to have a huge impact on the people around you. If you can't already think of something, I go out of my way to make a difference. Because that's what you have to do. If you're not able to change your environment, the question then again comes up, right? Well, I've been here for 5 months, and every time I've been a positive influence, the negative influence cancels me out. Do you stay or do you go? Especially when you have another opportunity where you can, you know, potentially be lined up for your favor and could be better in the moment. Do you stick around in the rough and wait? Build up your tower and then let others see it, recognize it, and then you get promoted? Or do you jump out now? Because 6 months would be too long. And you take that money now, but let's say there's no room for promotion. It's much harder to get promoted than the job you were just working at. The choice is yours. And either way, whichever how you decide it, it's going to have an impact that you directly caused. So please don't forget that. Please forget the importance of free will and the importance of doing what's in your best interest. It's extremely, extremely, extremely important to know that what you're doing is beneficial and is not detrimental. It's not harming you. It's also extremely important to realize that things like this, these seasons, are only temporary. That's why I call bad situations seasons. Because just like spring, summer, fall, winter, all changes, so does everybody else. The staff, you know, they change. It all changes. Take that in for a second. Reflect on change and reflect on how you got to this point. It's important. It's extremely important to realize what it is that you see yourself doing in 5 years. And if you see yourself in the same position, If that's your love and your passion, by all means, go for it. But for me, in 5 years, I should be making an impact now. And I should be living comfortably in the life that I want to live with my loved ones. And I should be only continuing to grow and be further along in my journey, which will eventually help me realize my destiny. Bring it into thin air. That's all I got, I think, for y'all now. You know? It's important to stay connected with your friends and your families and your loved ones and your supporters. Don't feel the need to isolate yourself, too. That's something that I struggle with a lot. Working means we need to separate ourselves from our loved ones. Because when our loved ones want us to come sit and have time and take 30 minutes out of our busy schedule, we say no. Do the opposite. Do the opposite. Find time for the loved ones. And find time for nothing, too. It's extremely important to do nothing. Extremely, extremely, extremely important to do nothing as well. And I know Liz would laugh. You hear me laughing Because me of all people saying that when I barely do nothing. Yesterday, doing nothing felt so great. And of course I was on call, but it's been a very, very long time since I just felt like nothing. So we're back. We're back in action. I got a plan. I got a new course of attacking my podcast and keeping the consistency up and going. So we're going to test that out and see how that works. And I'm hoping that that's a good change and a great adjustment and a necessary one. And as y'all hear me sniffling and getting over this cold, I just want to bless y'all, pray for y'all, and support y'all. All right? If there's anything that I can do personally, let me know. If there's anything that you want to discuss or be on, let me know. Don't be afraid to message me. And for everybody that's been around and is still around and will listen to this episode, y'all the real ones, man. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your endless support. There's no me without y'all. And that's no BS, that's all facts. So with that being said, I hope y'all enjoy the rest of your Sunday. That's just where I've been at, man. And I think times are going to get better now. I just feel better about my moving forward. And I really do. I need to get back on the grind. And as we all do. And, you know, hold ourselves accountable. What great things are to come. There's been a lot of growing pains. And that's because we're getting tall out here, baby. A child that turns 7'5" would hurt more than a child that turns 5'7". Think about it. And do me a huge, huge, huge favor. Y'all do what's in your best interest. Nothing more, nothing less. Thank you for your time. This has been The Winning State of Mind. And I'm going to talk to y'all in the next episode. Deuces.